In your Bibles tonight, Revelation chapter number 13. Revelation chapter 13. It's the passage of scripture that's probably talked about most from the book of Revelation. It seems like the phrase that comes up the most and the subject that comes up and is chatted about more than any, the mark of the beast. And we find the mark of the beast here in Revelation chapter 13. And it's the mark of the Antichrist, the mark of the false prophet, and some things I think we'll be able to glean here as we look at Revelation chapter 13. We're reading, and this is an event yet to take place. It takes place in the Great Tribulation, the second half of the Great Tribulation. And the Antichrist is going to rise, and he's going to be a world leader. There'll be a one world government, one world currency, one world. You hear a lot about this. And the Antichrist is coming. He's going to be just that Antichrist, and he'll gather a great group of followers. And there'll be some peaceful moments there, but the end, it will be absolute havoc for anyone who follows the beast. And it's the way Satan works, isn't it? You know, he allures us, tempts us, makes us feel good about our sin for a moment, but the penalty of sin is death. And we'll look together here in Revelation chapter 13. The Bible says this, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and it was deadly, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb, the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. In other words, 666. The mark of the beast. We come here and we're going to meet up with the beast, the Antichrist. As a matter of fact, we're going to meet up with the satanic trinity of the book of Revelation and the great tribulation. And when we come to chapter number 13, we're going to be introduced to the beast. We've seen a little bit about the beast in chapter number 12. And we've seen about the dragon and the beast. The dragon's the devil, the beast, the Antichrist. And we come here in chapter number 13, and we're going to consider the mark of the beast. We're looking in the future. And what I'm going to do with the Lord's help, we'll break this into four smaller sections, this chapter. The first section is the beast, the Antichrist, verses 1 through 8. Verses 9 and 10 is hope for Christians. And the third thing is the second beast, or the false prophet. Verses 11 through 17, and then finally verse 18 is a warning to Christians. And we'll begin here in the first point, first part, the beast, the Antichrist. The Bible says in verse 1, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Most Bible scholars and students believe that the rising of the beast up out of the sea is evidence that he's going to come from the Gentiles. He's going to come out of the sea of population. He will be a man, a Gentile, that rises up, and he rises up and he'll rise in power. The Bible says he has seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. In Revelation chapter 17, we'll have a little more detail on some of the details about the horns and the image of this person, the image of this beast, the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be powerful. He's going to have power. He's going to have might. He's going to have authority. He's going to rise in power, and he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. The Bible says in verse number 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. In verse number 2, we see here that the beast, the Antichrist, has some characteristics. He'll have the characteristics of the leopard. A lot of folks want to believe, and I don't doubt it, that the leopard is a representation of another foreign power. We'll see more about that as we continue through the book of Revelation. The leopard represents a foreign power. The bear represents a foreign power. The lion represents a foreign power. And the bottom line is, the Antichrist, when the Antichrist rises in power, he will be the nastiest thing you've ever seen. You imagine the worst of the worst. You add Hitler and all the worst of the worst that's ever terrorized our world. We'll find their characteristics in the Antichrist. And the Antichrist, was like the leopard, like the bear, like the lion. And the Bible says this in verse 2, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, I want to remind you of something. Who is the dragon? We met up with the dragon, the serpent, the old devil. We meet up with the dragon in chapter number 12. And the devil is going to give power to the beast, the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is going to be present during the Great Tribulation. Now, I remind you that the church, saved people, are not appointed to wrath. And we won't be here for the rise of the beast, the Antichrist. And we can praise Jesus for that, right? And I'm thankful that we won't be part of this. But it's good to see. It's good to know. And God wants us to know it. And we want to understand that in the Great Tribulation period, that the Antichrist is going to do his great and terrible work. The Bible says in verse number 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Now, the Bible gives us a little insight, and most folks believe that what's going to happen is that this Antichrist person is going to rise to power. The Antichrist person is going to receive a wound to his head, and then he's going to be healed from the wound from his head. And the healing, the even perhaps raising from the dead, is going to be something that gives this Antichrist great, great all with the masses of people in the whole world. There was a time, and I promise this is not a political statement, this is just an observation from the past. There was a time that people believed that JFK, John F. Kennedy, was the Antichrist. And they believed that the wound that he secured from his head, there was people who literally were waiting to see John F. Kennedy rise from the dead after the wound to his head. Because there was lots of preaching and lots of people who believed that he had the kind of winsome power to be the Antichrist. And you'll hear folks talk throughout history and in my brief history, the few years that I've been alive, you hear of different presidents and different kings and different rulers, different folks who have this winsome personality, and they'll say, he may be the Antichrist, he may be the Antichrist, he may be the Antichrist. And the good news is we won't have the opportunity to experience the Antichrist in his full power, but it is possible that the Antichrist, even as we're living and breathing today, is beginning his rise to power. But I don't think it helps us at all to speculate and point fingers and say, he's the Antichrist, he's the Antichrist, he's the Antichrist, he's the Antichrist, because quite frankly, I think that most people who have pointed at a person in history, throughout history, to be the Antichrist has often been looked at foolishly later. And, but the Bible says that this Antichrist, this beast, he's going to receive a wound to his head and he's going to be healed. And the healing, the resurrecting, the rising, or whatever it is, the healing of this beast is going to cause great wonder. The Bible says, verse number 4, and they, the world, and they worshipped the dragon, they worshipped the devil, which gave power to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? There's a great move in the tribulation to worshiping Satan. Now, I'll have you know that what's going to happen in the great tribulation is already casting shadows into our society. Worshiping the devil, the wonder of wickedness is rank and rich. And it's all signs of the times. Jesus coming again. The Bible says they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Folks are going to get to the place where they have so much confidence in the Antichrist, in the beast, that they don't think there's nobody, there's no one, there's no way that anyone could ever overcome, overpower the beast. There'll be great deception during the great tribulation. The Bible says in verse 5, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. Now, this guy is going to use great words. He's going to be a great orator. He's going to speak great things. And the Bible says blasphemies. Blasphemies. If you look back in verse number 1, this beast has 10 crowns and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Now, let me just tell you that a sign of the Antichrist is blasphemy. Blasphemy. You know, it's a scary and terrible thing when folks blaspheme the name of God. Blasphemy is something that it seems to be more and more prevalent than ever before. We hear folks using God's name in vain. It's kind of fascinating. But even this evening, just before coming down from my office, I was scrolling through Facebook for just a second, and I watched somebody you'd never expect, and they got excited over something, and they've wrote Jesus' name in vain on a Facebook page, and it's just sickening. I think blasphemy. It's blasphemy. And now I'll just tell you, it's possible for you and I to get so comfortable in our flesh and sinfulness that we could blaspheme the name of God too. You be careful about how you use the name of Jesus. You be careful how you refer to God, Creator, Lord, Savior. Let's not speak blasphemous things. We get to the place where we think we're smarter than God. We're blaspheming His name. We get to the place where we think that perhaps there are other ways than God's way, that there's other authorities other than God's word, and we have become subject to blasphemy. subject to blasphemy. As a matter of fact, when we come to chapter 13, I really think that the way God wants to use chapter 13 is to help Christian people today and help save people, the folks whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life during the Great Tribulation, to remind them that they are not to fall prey to blasphemy. And they're not to fall prey to the potential and the threat to turn your back on God, God's Word, God's truth, God's way. We live in a world that's rank with blasphemy. So many things that God has plainly said in His Word are wrong. Even people who stand behind pulpits and claim to be Christians are bringing question to the very things that God has called wrong. God has called right. God has called plain. May God help us. It's a blasphemy. You're blaspheming God when you say, I should say, you're blaspheming God when you contradict God and His Word. May God help us not to be guilty. And the thing that the Antichrist, the beast, is going to do is blaspheme. He's going to blaspheme. He's full of blasphemy. Verse 5, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, I think it's kind of fascinating that power is given to the beast. Now, Satan gives him power. I also know that, and I don't understand all I know about it, but I also know that God has granted Satan power for a season, for a time. But the wonderful truth, and every time I've read this verse, and I've read it many times today, I'm encouraged that power is given to the Antichrist to continue 42 months. It's just a short time. It's just a brief season. Sweetest news is I'll be with Jesus during this season, so it'll go out by like a day. It'll be easy. It'll be quick, sweet, and right. For 42 months is all he gets. And praise the Lord, Jesus is the victor. Satan is defeated. And even in his victorious moments, he is a defeated foe. Just a note. How's this happening in verse number 5? When in chapter number 12, Satan was conquered by Jesus. Remember, Satan was cast out of heaven. He's defeated in glory, and he's sent to earth, and while he's on earth during the tribulation period, he's going to wreak havoc as the old dragon. He's going to wreak havoc as the beast, the Antichrist. And here in a minute we'll see him as the second beast. The Bible says in verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. Folks, I want you to know, the devil loves to blaspheme the name of God, the name of Jesus Christ. He opens his mouth to blaspheme his name, God's name. He blasphemes his tabernacle. The tabernacle of God is a rich, rich, rich study, but he blasphemes his tabernacle. He blasphemes the way God chose to do his work. He's going to blaspheme God's choice to use the shedding of blood to wash away the sins of men. One of the great blasphemies of Satan is any time you hear someone talk about this bloody religion is not necessary. Folks, I want you to know something. Jesus, from the very beginning, made it clear that a sacrifice had to be made. A blood sacrifice had to be made in order to cover the sins of man. It began in the Garden of Eden, when the sins of Adam and Eve were covered with the skin of an animal. And it's continued through Christ, Christ Jesus, who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And they're going to blaspheme his tabernacle. They're going to blaspheme the need we have for his presence. They're going to blaspheme the washing of blood. They're going to blaspheme God. The blasphemy against God, against His name, against His tabernacle. And then the Bible says this, and them that dwell in heaven. He's going to blaspheme And you all think that your loved ones are in heaven. Heaven. Let me tell you something. The Word of God is true. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Word of God is true. At this moment in history, in the beginning, in the middle of the great tribulation, it's going to be a fact that all of the church, the saved, are going to be in the presence of Jesus. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. And let them blaspheme. Let them blaspheme. Let them doubt. Let them cast doubt. Let them blame and blaspheme. But God is mighty. Just a reminder. The beast, the Antichrist, he's defeated. He only lasts for a moment. The Bible says, verse 7, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Now, there's one time when the Antichrist is going to literally overcome the saints, the saved. The Bible says, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Except all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Everybody that's alive except for the saved. There's really saved folks in the tribulation period. Hallelujah. Everyone else, the whole world, is going to worship the Antichrist, the beast. Now, verse number 9. It leads us to our second point, hope. Verses 1 through 8, the beast, the Antichrist. Verses 9 and 10, hope. Now, here's what the Bible says. If any man have an ear, let him hear. When you see that in the Scripture, it's like, hey, listen up. Here's something special for you to pay attention to. He says, if any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. The Bible says, listen up. Here's something special. Remember this. Verse number 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. What's that mean? It means you reap what you sow. It's a reminder that the beast, as strong and mighty and powerful as he seems, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He's going to be defeated. He that kills with the sword is killed with the sword. He's going to die. He's going to suffer. He's not going to win. The Bible says here is the patience and faith of the saints. There's going to be groups of Christians who are looking to God's Word for help during the Great Tribulation. And they're going to be reminded of something. It's been rough. It's been a rough day. The beast has killed saints that I know and love. And God is going to show them His Word. Here's patience. Here's faith. Here's something to trust in. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth the sword must be killed. He said, the old devil, the beast, he'll reap what he sows. Stay the faith. Stay the course. Trust in the Lord. Believe Him. There's hope. The next thing is this. The third point. The second beast, also known as the false prophet. Let's look at the second beast. So the Bible says in verse number 11, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now this is interesting. The second beast is not as daunting to look at. The second beast, the false prophet, some folks believe that the first beast had a great government political emphasis. And the second beast has a more religious emphasis. And we see this two-horned beast with the face like a lamb. He's a little less daunting, a little less scary to look at. But just imagine this. A two-horned little lamb. The face of a lamb. I saw somebody on Facebook today. It was actually a goat, but I've seen people do it with sheep too. And they've got this bottle baby they're bringing home with them with great ambitions and hopes. I hate to tell them that they're probably going to be sad here in about 3 or 4 hours when it dies. I'm just kidding. It's not very nice, is it? You see people with the babies, and I'm a sucker. I love them. You got the baby lamb, and I saw somebody with a lamb in their Facebook picture. They were just rubbing their face on that lamb, like
the lamb loves this. The lamb don't care about this, but we really like it. Oh, what a sweet, precious. And they're cute, aren't they? I just think they're awesome. So you see this lamb. You see the face of the lamb, two little horns. And then the Bible says that it has the head of a lamb, the face of a lamb, two horns like a lamb. The Bible says, and he spake as a dragon. Can you imagine? You're looking at that little baby lamb and all of a sudden it barks at you like a Rottweiler. The lamb has two horns like a lamb. The second beast, and he spake as a dragon. Verse 12 of the Bible says, he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. So he's got the same power. He causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So the second beast is the false prophet. And his message is, you need to worship the first beast. He says, I look nice. I'm a little less scary, and I'm religion, I'm faith, and I'm belief, and you're to worship the first beast. And he's pointing people to the Antichrist. The false prophet points people to the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. The first beast, and then the Bible says, he exercises, verse 12, all the power of the first beast, causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, the Bible says, whose deadly wound was healed. Now, we're just reminded, which beast we're talking about? We're talking about the beast. And the reminder is, you remember the beast that had the deadly wound to his head and was revived and healed? That's the one. You need to worship him. Verse 13. And he, the second beast, does great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Satan is a great impersonator. Anything that God has and does that's good, Satan impersonates it. One of two things I'll mention to you right now. The first is right here in this verse. The first is, God was notorious throughout the Old Testament when he proved his power to send fire from heaven. You remember the story of the prophets? And so the false prophet, the second beast, he sends fire from heaven, and he's an imitator of the Lord. And one of the greatest imitations we find in Satan in the Great Tribulation is he develops and establishes his very own Trinity. In this chapter of Scripture, you remember the dragon? That's Satan. He would represent God the Father. You remember the beast, the Antichrist? He's the second part of the satanic Trinity, and he represents God the Son. And then finally, you see in the satanic Trinity, the second beast, the false prophet, he works like the Holy Spirit does, pointing people back to worship the first beast, the Antichrist. And so he's a great imitator. Satan is a great imitator. We continue. The Bible says in verse number 13, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So the second beast says, look, y'all need to make an image. Make an image like the Antichrist. And so they do. And when they make the image like the Antichrist, that Antichrist that had the wound by a sword and did live. Verse 15, the Bible says that the second beast had power to give life unto the image. The image, the idol that they make, the second beast makes it talk and gives it power to kill. The Bible says that he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship to the image of the beast should be killed. That's what the second beast has the power to do over this idol. The Bible says, verse 16, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And so we see here that the second beast is the one, the false prophet, who institutes and encourages everyone to take the mark of the beast. They say, the Bible says that they will receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads. And if you don't take the mark, you don't buy or sell. If you don't take the name, the mark of the beast, you don't buy or sell, you don't trade. And there's going to come a moment in history where these people in the tribulation will have to decide, do I take the mark or do I eat? We look to a cashless society. And, you know, 50 years ago, it was a little bit harder to think about a society in which there was no cash. To think about a society in which there was no exchange of currency in order to buy, but there was some type of digital situation where you just have to swipe something or show a sign and you represent your accounts. And today, the day we live in, it doesn't seem so absurd after all, does it? Some people have the idea that I can't carry a debit card because I'm not going to take the mark of the beast. I'm not going to carry a phone. Now look, don't get silly. If you're saved, you're never going to be tempted to take the mark of the beast. If you're saved, there's never going to be a time where you have to stand your ground and be so tough and so bold. I'm going to tell you something. I'm pretty sure that if push comes to shove, that a lot of us wouldn't have the courage to take that kind of stand. And you may think you do, but I know me well enough to know that I don't know how I would respond. I hope I'd choose God, but the sweet news is I don't have to lay around and wonder in terror whether or not I'm going to make the right decision, because I made the right decision when I was 8 years old. I repented of my sin and trusted in Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. Any bold decision you ever make for Jesus, it'll be because God gives you the mercy and grace and strength to do it. It won't be because you're some type of super Christian. The sweet news is I won't have to face that. There'll be other things I have to face, and every day that I have to face and make choices and live for Jesus, God's going to give me the grace to do it. I'm thankful for that. But I'm never going to have to choose whether or not to take the mark of the beast or not. But if you're anything like me, you realize, wow, there are things coming together pointing to the fact that Jesus is coming again. Now, look, it can happen in a moment. I know what the critics say. Preachers have been preaching for over 2,000 years that Jesus is coming again and He's coming soon. I'm going to tell you something. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. I don't know when. It could be my lifetime. It could be another 1,000 years or so. When you're eternal God, 1,000 years isn't very long. But Jesus is coming again. And when you hear about ideas of people worldwide seeing the beast. You know, 100 years ago, how do you see the beast live worldwide? Well, I'm going to sit down in my chair after a while and probably sit down and turn on the news for just a little bit. And there's going to be stuff going on all over the globe. I'm going to see it right there in my living room in Chilhowee, Virginia. It's beginning to make sense how the whole world will see the beast. It's beginning to make sense how something in your forehead or in your right hand could be implanted so that you can buy and sell and function financially. It's beginning to make sense. And all I'm saying is Jesus is coming again someday. You know what I'm thankful for? When I think about the old dragon, alive on earth. When I think about the Antichrist, the beast, alive on earth, and his message and his power. And I think about the second beast, the false prophet. I think about this image of the first beast that's given the power to speak and kill and fire coming from heaven. I just want to tell you something. I don't want to meet them. I don't want to meet them. I want to tell you something sweet. Because I met Christ, because I met Jesus, because I got saved, because I repented of my sin and trusted in Christ by faith as my Savior, because I met the Lord, I'll never have to meet the beast. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know it. Oh, what a Savior. The mark of the beast is something I'm not going to have to deal with. But it's going to happen. And Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope.